Conjuring 3, the guy talks about how he was, like, always really cold. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that's it. I'm possessed by a demon.
I mean, it could be.
It could absolutely be. Okay.
When? Oh, did you find what you're looking for?
I did, because I couldn't remember how to pronounce his last name.
Whose last name?
Ryan.
Phillippe?
Oh, yep. There it is. I don't know. But yeah, so I'm pretty certain.
Falape.
Falafel.
Falafel. Just call him falafel.
This is terrible banter. Are we recording now? Oh, God. We need to step up our game with the banter.
I don't know how to do that.
I feel like sometimes, like, we get a good roll with the stuff, like, right in the beginning.
It's because we were both looking at our phones up until the last second. We didn't talk at all. We didn't, like, warm up at all. We didn't get going.
Well, that's unfortunate.
Well, I mean, it's our own fault. And plus, I was supposed to be here an hour ago. I mean, I guess I was here a half an hour ago.
That's okay.
Don't make that face. I had things to do. Well, somebody stopped by. What am I supposed to do? Say, get out of my house?
Yeah.
No, I wanted to hang out with her.
Just be like, hello, I have prior obligations.
No.
Oh, my God. So this is a good story, and then we'll get into it.
Okay.
So our landlord, and she'll never listen to this, so I don't really care.
in 3 weeks, eviction notice.
I know. Shit. Nope. We already signed the lease for 2 years. So. Okay. She was supposed to stop by to pick up the lease at noon on Saturday. This was one thing on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't get here until about 1 because Mike, like, messaged her. And she's like, oh, I just drove right by and didn't pick it up. We waited here. We had stuff to do in town. Mm-hmm. We waited here for, like, 45 minutes before he messaged her. And I'm like, this is one thing that bothers me about some people, and not necessarily our landlord, because she's a pretty cool lady, but, like, if you make an appointment with somebody, people just think that their time is more important. It's very annoying.
I don't think that they think that they're more important, because I've been on both sides of it. Sometimes
I'm very cynical, though.
Sometimes I'm the on-time person, sometimes I'm the early person, sometimes I'm late. It just, however it works out. Like, I've been here, I've been like, I'll be here at 6, and then when I'm here at 6, you're out walking your dog, and I just, like, hang out with the cats.
And we're like, do-do-do, yeah.
But, it's, they're just not thinking about it. It's not like, I'm gonna do this, and they're gonna wait.
Well, yeah.
It's like, I just watched this video, and it's a sign of multitaskers, because you get so many things going that you're trying to wrap it up before you go somewhere.
Yeah.
So it's not just like, oh, I don't know.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that, like, people think that they're more important. But when people would make appointments at the credit union when I worked there, it was just like, oh, well, like, they would show up like a half an hour later and then be mad that I was with someone else. And I'm like, well.
Well, you missed your appointment.
You missed your appointment. Yeah, I guess, like, I'm not necessarily talking about, like, you coming over, like, loose plans.
Yeah.
But, like, if somebody has an appointment, like, you wouldn't show up at the dentist, like,
I
a half an hour later.
I thought I was going to be, like, 2 minutes late to the eye doctor, and on the drive in, because you never know what parking is going to be like.
Oh, yeah,
so
for sure.
So I called them, and I said, I'm going to be, like, literally less than 5 minutes late. Do I need to reschedule? I just said, do I need to reschedule right off the bat? Because I'm not going to be like, please
you don't
take
know.
Me if they can't.
Especially with doctor appointments and stuff.
You usually end up waiting there forever anyway, but...
Yeah. Anyway.
Anyway.
That was
fun.
That was great.
Great conversation.
So let's just get right into it. My name is Chelsea.
I'm Erin.
And this is Slasher Movie Review. On tonight's episode of Slasher Movie Review, we're going to talk about I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Nothing.
I didn't
do anything last summer.
Oh! Fuck. That was funny.
No, I was thinking about that when, like, the credits, you know, like, you know what you did last summer. I'm like, I didn't do anything.
Well, because COVID.
I hung out in Pat's barn and played cards.
Yeah.
For, like, an entire summer.
Last summer.
Mm-hmm.
And now everybody's trying to pile all their shit in this summer, and it's annoying.
It is annoying.
Ugh. But anyway.
I'm, like, working 8-hour days and then making food to go somewhere every night for, like, 2 weeks straight.
It's so frustrating. Like, I'm grateful that, like, we're able to do all of this now and stuff, but it's still
exhausting. Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, I Know What You Did Last Summer came out October 17th, 1997. I was going to say 1977.
1977.
Not Star Wars. it was directed by Jim Gillespie and the writers, Kevin Williamson, I believe so.
Yes.
And then loosely based on the book by Lois Duncan,
mm-hmm.
Of the same title.
Did you know that Kevin Williamson wrote Scream as well?
Yes.
And did you know that he also wrote Dawson's Creek?
They make a reference to that in the movie.
You're on top of it.
I know.
I should just go home.
Just stop. Because, like, I start doing, like, the cast and everything, and then I'm like, oh, I wonder what trivia. I should just stop doing that.
Yeah, I don't care.
Okay. So, I'm only doing the main cast per usual, and it stars Jennifer Love Hewitt as Julie, Sarah Michelle Gellar as Helen, Freddie Prinze Jr. as Ray, Ryan Phillippe as Barry,
Falafel.
Falafel.
Okay.
Ryan Falafel. Johnny Galecki as Max, Bridget Wilson. I'm only going to say Bridget Wilson because I think Sampras is her married name.
Married name, yeah.
Yeah. As Elsa, Helen's sister. Anne Heche as Missy. And then Muse Watson as Ben or the killer.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
Yeah.
That's pretty much pretty everybody. Much
I mean, there are some, like the parents and stuff, but who cares? Yeah. Do you want me to start it off?
I don't care. It starts out with typo negative.
It starts out with the greatest redo of a song. I'm saying it. Cause
forever and always?
Forever and always, because I think it was really well done.
Oh, I don't think it's the best remake ever.
What do you think's the best remake ever?
I don't know. Not this. It's good.
It's good.
And
it's
real like it.
I remember Mom like rocking out to this song, too.
Yeah. Mom liked this typo.
Yeah. So it starts off with a cliff scene at dusk on 4th of July.
Yeah.
1996, guessing year-wise.
Yes.
And typo negative is playing Summer Breeze. It's pretty good. If you don't know what we're talking about, you should look it up.
So the guy sitting on the cliff, like, that nope. Like, I don't know.
He's hammed. But still.
If you're hammered, are you going to sit on a cliff over the ocean?
No.
And it's even kind of like down. Like he had to climb down to get there.
He had to climb down and like, did he just walk up there? Oh, he did. He did just walk up there.
No, yeah.
It's coming back to me. Okay. I watched it like a week ago and. Yeah.
So he's sitting there and just looking sad. He's playing with this little like charm. And drinking. So that's like the beginning. Yeah. It's right at like dusk on 4th of July. And then it goes to the Miss Croker Queen finalists. So that's when you meet like the main cast.
Yep.
Helen, Julie, Barry, and Ray.
Mm-hmm.
Barry and Helen are dating. Ray and Julie are dating. So Helen is on stage and she like
looking
she's
gorge.
Just like meant to be a beauty queen.
Yeah.
She does look gorgeous.
I like her speech too, and she's just like, I wanna influence the world by being a famous actress.
It's like, yeah. Cool. Like or she, it's something like, I wanna bring joy to the world through
art
acting.
And whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was really cheesy.
And then all of the other women standing up there look mega old. Or, like, older compared to her.
I didn't notice.
Like, the woman that's next to her looks like she's probably, in comparison to Sarah Michelle Gellar at the time, like, in her late 20s, early 30s.
It's not, like, a high school thing, though. So, it could be
it
just,
could
like,
be.
Hot chicks from around town.
That's true.
Like, she's a high school student.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it doesn't say there's a... It's just a miss.
Oh. That's true.
What so after that scene Helen wins, it's like a big deal. And what did you think of that town party?
That was amazing.
It's all this little, like, seaside.
It's hometown.
Like, fishing community.
Yeah.
But when I was thinking about it, I thought forever that it was, like, in Maine or, like, somewhere, like, up north.
Yeah.
But then...
It looks like Northern California.
Yeah. So I didn't really get it. And then when you finally meet Missy, that character, she... It's like all of a sudden, like the Deep South.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, what's happening? But it was filmed and it's also supposed to be based in North Carolina, right?
Yeah, it's based in North Carolina and it's actually filmed in Southport, North Carolina, which is the name of the town. And then like the rocky portions of it, like when they're driving and stuff, is filmed in Sonoma County, California. So they like... moved the entire set to Sonoma.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just thought that town party was like...
It was crazy.
Just the right amount of crazy, though.
Yeah. Like, the band is playing in the background, and...
Yeah.
Dad, speaking of that band, like, loved that band, because it's, like, rockabilly music.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so they're all hanging out at the party. I thought Helen's crown was, like, beautiful.
Her crown and scepter, I want it.
It's got, like, seahorses on it. It's like, all, yeah. Like, rainbow colors. Like,
pastel rainbow colors. It's very pretty.
Then that's when the older sister gets introduced, because it's Helen's older sister, mm-hmm. Elsa.
Yep.
And Elsa just basically thinks she's, like...
garbage.
A frivolous little, yeah. Like, oh, sit there, brush your hair. Oh, you think you're so pretty.
Yeah.
When the sister, who's also gorgeous, is also practical.
She is so beautiful.
Veronica Vaughn.
Sonya Blade. Ah, Veronica Vaughn.
Did you not?
God, I didn't put it together.
Oh, yeah. That's the first thing I said. Veronica Vaughn.
No milk will ever be our milk. That's the best.
Yeah, so you meet her, and she is supposed to give Helen a ride home, yeah. And Helen's basically like, fuck
she
off, I'm going
to
hang out with my friends.
Went home with her.
She should have, but you know what? She's
a teenager.
A teenager, senior in high school,
senior
or
high
just
school.
Graduated.
Yeah.
And she wanted to go party with her friends.
Yeah.
I get it.
This is also when you meet Max, too.
Yes.
Who's Julie's, like, lifelong friend.
Yeah.
Like, they seem, well, they all grew up together, but I think her and Max, like, I don't know. Max made it seem like he was very close to her.
Well, I think he was just, like, hardcore crushing on her forever and ever.
Yeah.
They probably all graduated, like, together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's very bitter.
He super salty. He hates Ray. Like, hates the whole group of friends.
But then he
Julie.
Acts like he hates them because they're rich. But really, Barry is the only rich one.
Barry is the only rich one. I think Helen has a little bit of money because Helen's family
owns the town store.
The town grocery store. Barry reminds me Brock Turner. For sure.
I think, now, you know why you think of him like that? Because he's wearing the white sweater through, like, the whole thing.
He's wearing a white sweater. V-neck. He's some rich douchebag, like, quarterback on the football team. He's a dick.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that he would go on to, like, do anything that...
I wouldn't say, well, I mean,
but he's like the
kills
rich,
someone.
Yeah, he's the rich frat guy that...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I don't hate him that much.
Ugh, I don't like him.
I don't like him.
I'm not saying he deserved to get, like, gutted, but he's a jerk through the whole thing.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know where we're at now. They go to Dawson's Beach to hang out in a shipwreck, mm-hmm. which they always show places like that.
I've never seen a place like that.
Well,
but we don't live on the coast. Like, we live on the North Coast. But
I guess there are beaches like that around Marquette. where you can like go and have a fire. There's not a cool shipwreck on them.
Yeah.
There's not, they're not like little coves.
No.
And if there were, I wouldn't tell anyone that they were here.
Fucking tourists.
Oh my God. Greg wrote on my notes, that freaking brat.
So anyway, they are all sitting around a campfire. They've all been drinking, except I think Ray might have had like a couple drinks. Julie didn't really drink that much either.
I thought he was like the only one that was drinking.
Ray?
No.
Oh, Barry. I think Barry and Helen both were.
Oh, yeah. Well, Barry's like
annihilated drunk.
Pounding that bottle of whiskey or rum or whatever it was.
So they're all sitting around the campfire and they're telling the urban legend, the guy with the hook.
Yeah, the hook.
And they're all telling different variations because we've all heard that urban legend.
Yeah.
A guy and a girl make now, hook. Guy is either dead, girl is either dead, or they just drive home.
Or they get away and then they find the hook on the door. Right. Yeah.
And so on they both get done hanging out, like the whole group, and then they're driving or they're walking back. Ray grabs the keys and Barry's just like, nobody drives my fucking car but me. And Helen is just looking annoyed at this point.
We forgot to mention that Julie and Ray have sex.
Well, both of the couples.
Well, but it was like a big, it seemed like more of a big deal for Julie.
Julie had never
done
that before. And it was their senior, they had just graduated.
Yeah.
And it was like a big deal.
Oh, I also have to comment, I absolutely hate her bangs through the whole thing.
So I was talking to Mike about this. I had a big Jennifer Love Hewitt phase.
Yes, you did.
After I saw this.
Yeah.
I had the bangs. I even took my senior pictures in like a knit, like crocheted baby blue top that was very similar to Jennifer Love Hewitt's in this.
I guess you did have like a phase.
And I wore like little chokers and I went like this all the time, like my face, my facial expressions and stuff. Ugh.
Yeah, I'm glad that's over.
Me too.
I didn't particularly, I think when the first time I saw this, like way back when, when it came out, I really liked it. And now I'm just like, ugh.
Like Jennifer Love Hewitt or the film?
Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Yeah.
I think I thought she was cooler back then.
I think we all did.
Probably.
Yeah.
It's probably a thing. All right. So they... So Ray finally like gets the keys away from Barry and Ray is driving like fairly responsibly until Barry decides to like be a drunk asshole and lean into the front seat and he like cranks up the music and then he's standing out the sunroof of his car and then he drops his bottle. This is like the big,
this is the big thing,
the big scene. He drops the bottle, so there's, like, whiskey or whatever being spilled everywhere. Distracts Ray. Ray's swerving all over the road and hits something.
He hits something. Deer, dog, you don't know until, like, they get out of the vehicle.
Do you think that Barry would have been seriously hurt from that?
He would have been absolutely seriously hurt. It just wouldn't have been,
hurt
like, blood.
Hurt if not killed.
Yeah.
So he's standing out of the sunroof, and they hit a man. And the man, you see him, like, bounce, like, off the windshield, up over the top of the car, and back down the other side.
I feel
and
like...
It would have, like, broke Barry's back, or, like, pulled him out of the car.
Yeah.
He wouldn't have just, like, gotten... I don't know.
For sure.
A little splash of blood on his
face. So Barry, like, gets back into the car, and he has, like, blood. And Helen's like, oh, babe, you're bleeding. He's like, it's not my blood. And then
he's trying to say, oh, it was a dog. And, I mean, they all saw him at least for a second.
Yeah.
But then Julie walks down the road, and she picks up a boot. Yeah.
Everybody's lives instant ruined.
Yeah, so then it turns into this, like, huge argument because pretty much everyone wants to go to the police except Barry. And then Ray's kind of like, oh, wait, this would ruin our lives. I was driving.
But he wasn't drinking, though.
No.
But I guess the cops probably wouldn't believe that he wasn't.
And he, like, makes a comment, like, he doesn't have money for a lawyer to, like, get out of this.
He doesn't. Like, out of all of them, he comes from, like, a fisherman family.
Yeah.
Like... They don't have a lot.
Which I don't really... I mean, there are fishermen that have a lot of money.
Well, yeah.
His family, not so much.
His family, no. And, like, Barry is going on to college to be, like, quarterback. Helen has this idea of going to New York and becoming an actress. Julie is going to college to become a lawyer.
Yeah.
And Barry, or Ray, is staying in town and, like, kind of taking over the fishing business from his parents.
Yeah, so everybody has... Well, I mean, they're all, like, they all just graduated high school.
They all have big dreams.
They all have big dreams on what they're going to do. Mm-hmm. So they just... They kind of give in to Barry. And while they're still, like, discussing it, Max shows up.
Yeah.
They see a car coming down the road, and they all panic. So, I mean, it was smart. They kind of hide the body. And then Barry pretends like he's puking.
Yeah.
And that they're, like, taking care of him. And Max had to be so suspicious.
So suspicious. I would be.
Because he says something snarky to Ray, and Ray is just like, okay, man.
All right, cool.
All right, cool. Like, later. Have a good night. See you later. Like,
and Max, so suspicious. Like, notices the car and how fucked up it is and stuff.
Yeah.
And Julie and Ray are just like, well, it's just whatever. Don't drink and drive. Ha ha. And Max, like, drives off.
Yeah. Then they load up the body of the man and they dump him off a pier. And right before they dump him, they realize he's still alive.
They realize he's still alive and he grabs Helen's crown and, like, takes it down with him.
Yeah. But then Barry jumps in and, like, grabs the crown mm-hmm. back from him.
And they just, like, leave him there. There's no way in hell. I don't care what I had going on in my life. Way better than a year later being murdered by someone.
Okay, well, you don't know that you're going to be murdered a year later.
After seeing this film, I would assume that something horrible would happen.
I would hope that if you hit someone with your car, you would go to the police.
Absolutely.
And not just be like...
And not just, like, throw them in the
dump the body somewhere. Then it's 1 year later. So you see them roll the body in. They make a pact to never tell anyone.
Barry, like, forces it on everybody. And Julie is just, like, not having it. And then...
He, like, chokes her or something, doesn't he?
Flips out. Yeah.
He like, grabs her and makes her say that she won't tell anyone. It's a year later. It's Julie in college. She looks like absolute
shit.
She
looks like shit.
She turned into Kristen Stewart in Twilight is what happened to her. She just is, like, mopey. She's super pale. Her hair is all stringy and gross. Like,
she had a rough year.
Yeah. With it. She, like, got really bad grades, which you find out later. Big
time. Yeah.
Like, she's just, it's like Edward broke up with her.
Oh, God.
Is how she looks.
How devastating. Did you know Twilight is going to be on Netflix?
Is it really?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't care because I have them all on, like, Blu-ray. And
I don't because I donated them all.
The extended editions and all that.
Yeah.
The roommate kind of gives her a hard time about, like, getting some sunshine.
Pasty.
Doing something. Her mom is, when she gets home, her mom's super worried about her, like, which you would be.
Well, of course, yeah.
And then that's when she gets the letter.
She gets the letter. And the letter is just plain white envelope, and it says Julie James, her address. And then on the inside, it's just, like, a plain folded note, and it says, I know what you did last summer. She freaks out, as you would.
Of course.
And then she drives to the Shivers grocery store. It's not a grocery store. It's, like, a clothing.
It's, like, yeah. I think it's, like, a clothing.
Mercantile. The Shivers Mercantile. I don't know.
Is it? I thought it was Merchantile.
Hmm.
All right. I think we're going to do this and everyone just argue about how we don't know how to say anything.
We don't know English. Everyone. It's okay.
She goes to her sister's shop and wants to know how she can get in touch with Helen. Like, what's, like, Helen's New York phone number?
Oh, my God. And Elsa just, like, eats it up because Elsa is the manager. Like, she took over the store. And Elsa's just like, well, if you want to find her, you can find her in at the perfume counter or whatever. She says something so sassy, and it's just devastating.
I know. I mean,
And you see Helen, and she has her hair back and like a black headband, and she's like dropping perfume and stuff.
She's
and
just horrible at it. Mess. She's a hot mess. She looks very pretty.
She does look very pretty.
But I mean,
it's all a lie. So Julie shows her the note, and she's just like, oh, like they're kind of reconnecting after a year, because after they hit the guy, they just like.
Yeah, I didn't really understand that either, because if they were all best friends.
I think it just like ruined them.
The two of them were best friends. Yeah. I don't think Ray and Barry. God, Ray no. and Barry were just like the boyfriends. So yeah. They probably got along, but they weren't like hanging out at all. But the girls were best friends. So how? I don't know.
I think the events, I think Julie and Helen probably like didn't get along because Julie was pissed at Barry and Helen was just going along with what Barry said because boyfriend.
Yeah.
And then their friendship ended, and then Helen and Barry's friendship ended, and then Julie and Ray broke up.
You thought way more into this than I did.
Yep. You gotta know the friend dynamic.
I guess so. They go to Barry. The two girls go to Barry, and Barry and Helen are all like sassy with each other.
Yeah.
And he's just like, whatever, it's a note.
He's like, I know what you did last summer. You did a lot of things last summer, Julie.
You know, she's like, well, I only murdered one dude, or whatever. Yeah. She says,
and he's like drinking beer and just like, and he having has this, a good like, old time.
Super, it's not like a mansion, but it's like a gigantic beach house. It's
like
a nice
beach house, like right on the water.
Yeah,
with a pool.
Yeah, he's living well there. That Julie says that she found out who it was. Yeah. David Egan, and he was found in shrimp nets 3 weeks after the accident. And they just said it was like accidental drowning. They couldn't tell he was hit by a car or anything. Well, yeah. They,
I mean, boat propellers really do some damage.
Blame those boat propellers. They think it might be Max. So then Barry's all like fired up and goes down there and confronts him.
Well, and they make it look like it could be a lot of people, because Elsa is kind of like listening in on the conversation at the shop. Max hated everybody except Julie.
Yeah, they kind of, which is fun for the film. They kind of make it like a mystery.
Like Ray isn't around for a lot of it. And
but it's kind just, of like Scream is like that too. Like,
yeah,
it's kind of a mystery. You never really find out who it is till the very end, mm-hmm. which was shocking.
It was shocking.
The end of Scream did and surprise me.
And when I was younger and watched this, I didn't put two and two together. But then, like, later on, like, because I have said this before when I watch films, like, my brain, if there's a lot of pieces that have to be put together, like, my brain doesn't connect them right away.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, like if there's like a lot going on, so there's a lot distracting you, and you can't like figure it out.
It takes me like maybe two or three times to actually sit down and like watch it before I'm like, oh my god, a light bulb.
With this one, I Greg was working, so Pat came over to watch it with me, and I had to explain it. He's like, wait, what?
Yeah,
who? What's happening? And exactly. I'm like, this happened and this happened.
When Missy comes into play too, like I just don't. Like, it took me a while to understand what was going on.
Yeah, so. There's a lot of that. Well, then that Barry, like, goes and, like, super threatens Max.
He automatically assumes it's Max.
Yeah. He just flies off the handle.
Yeah. His rage issues.
But he just, like, he didn't admit to doing anything. He had no idea what Barry was talking about.
Which would also throw off people, too, if Barry is just, like, going around town going, like, you fucking know, like, you were there, blah, blah, blah. Like, what did you do?
Did you laugh a little bit when Leonard was saying motherfucker?
Yes.
Yelling motherfucker.
So, anybody, I mean, there are people that don't watch Big Bang Theory.
Well, even then, it could be like David from Roseanne.
No shit. Yeah.
Could you imagine David from Roseanne yelling,
being angry and like
at somebody.
No, not at all.
So when I saw him doing that, I'm like, that is not convincing.
That's not convincing.
Well, after like Barry roughs him up, he gets like super mad and is like screaming at him as he walks away.
I used to remember like the one-liners and stuff because I watched this movie a lot when I was younger.
Yeah.
But now, like, don't you test? Oh, there it is. Don't you test me, motherfucker.
He has the big ice hook.
He has the big ice hook.
Like, Leonard. Then they track down Ray, who's looking hot as a fisherman.
He's so handsome.
Mm-hmm.
Even to this day, he's very attractive.
Although, I did notice this. I was going to wait and talk to tell you after, but I'll just tell you now because I won't say anybody's names. But picture him with blonde hair and blue eyes and then think of my ex-boyfriends.
Yes, absolutely.
Like 100%.
Yeah.
How did I not put that together like back then?
I don't know, but I know exactly who you're talking about.
Because I'm like, his face just seems really familiar, like the shape of his face. Yeah. I'm like, oh, blonde hair and blue eyes. That's exactly. Ugh. Anyway. But they meet up with him. He's still kind of like longing for Julie, and Julie doesn't want anything to do with him.
Yeah.
Then it goes back to Max, and he's steaming crabs. This was really gruesome, and it caught me off guard.
It caught me off guard, too. And they ended up filming this scene in the reshoots. Did you look that up?
No, I didn't.
So Max was going to live throughout the entire movie.
Okay.
And like, whatever. But when they did a test run of it, the audience didn't know that the cast was in like imminent danger. So they killed Max's character off.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was weird that the killer was killing people that weren't involved with the actual accident.
I didn't like that.
I didn't like that either. Like, more characters die, but when Max died, I'm like, what did he...
Why? He didn't do it. Like,
no.
He was there that night, but he didn't know what was going on.
He didn't know anything about it.
And, I didn't like that at all. I think it would have been cool if Max would have... like
somehow save the day, like at the end,
well,
or
that,
like,
or like even tied up with in like the hull of a crab ship or something with like a note like stapled to him or something weird. Like
if he would have just been kidnapped and not murdered. Yeah, he's steaming crabs and you see like the block of ice with a hook in it. Then you see the block of ice without the hook in it.
There's a lot of that.
There's a lot of, oh, what's happening now? And he gets a hook in the face and he gets like pulled over the steamers.
It just sucks.
It does, because he didn't have anything to do with it. He was very bitter, though.
He was, maybe don't be bitter. I don't know.
Don't be bitter. Then Barry is alone at the gym in the shower.
Does this happen in the same night?
Yes.
I think it does, yeah.
That's like afternoon because he'd just gotten in the fight. Max had just gotten in the fight with Barry.
He was still like rage going through the crabs, I feel like. Max.
Yeah.
He was still angry.
He's still angry. And then Barry was at the gym, like, beating up a punching bag.
Yeah.
Or was that? Yeah, that had to have been it.
Yeah. And Hush is playing.
Yes. That's a good song.
Mm-hmm. Which is also a remake.
Yeah. Who sang it the first time?
I don't know who sang it the first time. I did bad research.
I remember the old one better than this one.
Yes.
Barry's alone. Mom is going to just murder us for not knowing who sang all these songs.
I wrote down who sang Summer Breeze because we looked it up right before.
Oh, yeah. he gets out of the shower and then he walks to his locker and there's a Polaroid stuck in it that's a picture of the dock that they rolled the body off of.
Is it the dock or is it his car out front?
I thought it was the dock. Maybe I was... not paying attention. There's a photo. It makes Barry upset.
It says, I know, at the bottom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then that's why I thought it was the dock.
I think it's the car.
Because it's like, I know.
Because it's the car, like, I guess, outside of the gym.
Okay. I wasn't paying attention.
But maybe.
You've seen it way more than I have.
I have.
He opens his locker and someone had stolen his jacket.
How dare they steal his varsity jacket?
I still have my varsity jacket.
I do too. It's upstairs.
I also have a big bag of your medals too that mom
I think gave I have a big me. Bag of your medals that mom gave to me too.
Aren't we cool? We both have a big bag of medals from high school.
Glory days.
We should pin them all to our varsity jackets and go downtown.
So
we'll go cruise Washington.
Steve and I, we got together when I lived in Adrian still. And we like took our varsity jackets and his wife, Monica, took a picture of us in our varsity jackets, like standing by next to the camera. And we were like looking over our shoulders.
You're so cool.
You're real cool.
Actually, I'm kind of jealous. I want to do something like that with mine.
I was like 28. And we sat and I think we just watched like an Sinister or something. And we were hanging out at his house and glory days.
Barry gets run down by his own vehicle.
Yeah, there's someone. So Barry leaves the gym and there's somebody in his car and the lights shine on him. Barry gets run over and like thrown off into.
He gets run. Well, he gets hit by the car, but he kind of like gets. He's up on the windshield and then they crash the car into like a wooden shack or something. Yeah. And then he falls out the other side. So then he's in the hospital. That's when Julie and Helen decide that they're going to track down family members.
Yeah.
And see if they can like piece it together. Well, when they find out about the sister, Missy, she lives way out in the wilderness. And I thought it was funny that when they pulled up, they had no plan, like what they were going to say. They had
absolutely no plan. They just like drove up and like Helen's like chain smoking a cigarette and like no plan whatsoever.
Chain smoking is like multiple cigarettes.
Chain smoking cigarettes.
Okay, there you go. Chain smoking is like where you have a cigarette and it's almost out and you light your next cigarette with that cigarette.
Blech.
Mm-hmm. It's a thing. Been there.
No, thank you.
So they don't have a plan. So they just say that their car stalled, which I think is a shit plan. Why didn't they just say, like, we're investigating this? Like,
I think
we're trying to solve this mystery.
Well, because they don't know who's coming after them. And I think they went there just
to check her out,
just
too.
Just to check her out to see if she might have been the person.
I suppose. Well, she's beautiful, by the way. I think seeing her.
Anne Heche.
Seeing her in this.
She's so pretty.
Was probably the first time I'm like, wow, I want to cut my hair short.
Yeah. She is very pretty. And yeah, I like her a lot.
It makes me want to live out in the wilderness by myself and just be like thin and have short hair and wear overalls all the time.
Overalls and like a smock or like a.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I want that life.
In like a big farmhouse that looks like Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
It does look very Chainsaw Massacre-ish. Well, they start grilling her for information, which is awkward.
It's super awkward. Like, Helen goes to make a phone call, and there's a fishing slicker, like, hanging.
Yeah.
So it makes it look like that it's Missy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what
The killer
wears.
Yeah, he wears, like, he looks like, they say it in the film, but I can't remember. He just has, like, a black fishing slicker and, like, a black, like, rain hat.
Like a raincoat.
Yeah. He looks like Paddington Bear, but in black.
Except Paddington Bear is adorable.
Yeah.
Did they make a reference to that?
No.
Oh.
It was the first thing I thought of. And I was just like, oh.
So they're asking her all these questions, and it comes out that a friend stopped by named Billy Blue.
And she, like, Missy kind of, like, talks about him.
Yeah, that she thought he was real cute, yeah. And they kind of, you know, she was into him for a minute, like, just attracted to him, and... So, but then that's all you know.
Yeah.
Just Billy Blue. That's when it was. So it was after that. They kind of get that little bit of information. And then Helen goes home and the murderer is in the house. The killer's in the house.
Okay. I have so many things to complain about this scene.
What?
So she just leaves the door open. Her dad has no idea that somebody's tromping through the house. He has to have, like, big boots on.
That's true. But the dad is listening to the TV super loud.
And drinking.
And drinking.
Yeah.
And she says hi to him when she comes home, and he completely ignores her. Like, he's just oblivious.
How sucky.
Yeah. So then, but she does. The door is open.
The door is open. Like,
somebody going up those stairs.
Absolutely.
You would hear that.
Absolutely.
He didn't, like, levitate up the stairs.
No.
You.
And then, like, Elsa's home, too.
Yeah.
Everybody's home. I mean, we can't say anything because there have been, like, situations with murderers and stuff, like, coming homes and no one knows. So.
I thought you were going to say, like, well, we can't say anything because murderers have come in our homes before.
No.
Like, that's how you.
No.
I can't but judge I'm personally.
It happens and.
It does happen.
But
yeah, it is kind of weird. Odd. Like, it seems like if she. Because she's pouring a Coke in the kitchen and the stairs are, like, fairly close by. But she could have heard him go up the stairs and think it was Elsa.
Someone. Yeah.
But then.
Like, we don't know.
At work, when I'm in the basement and I hear people come down the stairs, I know who it is by how they come down the stairs.
Yeah.
Like, if somebody comes down your stairs, you can tell if it's which kid it is or if it's Mike. Yeah, that part's questionable. Well, then she gets in a fight with Elsa about working because
Elsa killer's hiding in the closet.
Yeah. Killer's hiding in the closet. Helen's sitting there, like, doing the 100 strokes hairbrushing, you know, like, trying to look beautiful. And her sister's like, we're doing inventory tomorrow, which 4th of July weekend, you would not be doing inventory.
No, not at all.
It would be and like.
We have worked enough retail situations, stores, whatever, where
so
we would
sister,
know.
So the sister, Elsa's just doing it to be a bitch.
Yeah.
Oh, 10 o'clock tomorrow, you have to come in and do inventory. And that's like when the parade is.
Yeah.
Like.
She wouldn't have to do that. No. And when you get a shot of the store, like, a ton of people work there. Like, you can't tell me that, yeah, she's being salty.
Well, a lot of people might have it off for 4th of July weekend.
That's true.
Or it might be everyone has to work, all holiday. Hands on deck kind of thing. I don't know.
And then Elsa, like, as Helen is brushing her hair, Elsa's just like, oh, God, you and that hair. And then she just, like, walks out.
Yeah, she says it's pathetic.
Yeah.
So then that kind of points at Elsa.
Right.
Because when Helen wakes up in the morning, she has her crown on her head. This is so creepy to me.
It's very creepy.
She has her crown on her head, which she didn't put on before bed. And she, like, feels it and pulls it off while she's, like, half asleep. And, like, gobs of hair come with it.
I thought the first time I saw this, I thought he shaved her head.
I thought he shaved her head, too.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, or fortunately, he just gave her this, like, cute shoulder-length haircut.
Yeah, no shit. Like, she obviously had to, like, go in and get it, like, fixed up. But it's adorable. Like,
it's, like, if I was...
It's very Buffy.
It is. If I was revenge cutting someone's hair...
Oh, I would have cut gobs, like, right to her scalp.
Oh,
she would look like Anne Heche.
Anne Heche's hair is cute.
It is super cute. Yeah.
She would have to shave her head. There'd be no hiding, like, how bad I would fuck it up. But this guy just, takes some kitchen scissors and like, gives her, like, shitty layers from the shoulder down.
Yeah. And then and she wakes up and, like, goes to the mirror to, like, look frantically. And there's, like, I know. Like,
no, written. It says soon.
Oh,
written
soon.
In lipstick.
Mm-hmm. And then she breaks the mirror.
Yeah. That is when, so the next scene, Julie's driving and.
Oh, yeah.
She hears.
Because she's on her way over to Helen's house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She hears, like, a weird, like, rustling sound in the car. This part freaked me out pretty bad.
Yeah.
Especially the first time I saw it. I couldn't even look. So she hears this, like, rustling like sound. Scraping. And she pulls over and she opens her trunk and Max is in the trunk.
In a neighborhood.
Yes, in a neighborhood. She pulls over, opens up the trunk, and it's full of crabs and Max dead. And it's pretty nasty.
It's gross.
She like loses her shit. She gets Barry and Helen, takes them back to the car, and the body's gone.
How did he do it?
I'm thinking.
Is there a tarp?
That it's on a tarp.
But then how did he do it in front of all of these houses? Neighborhood.
So her car is parked. He's obviously has an eye on her, the killer.
I have a comment to that too.
It's very like Joyride. Like, I think the killer was following her once he did that. And when she took off, he was probably going to leave it in there, like for her to find with other people. But she took off, and I think he just backed his truck up or whatever, hauled all that on a tarp into his truck, and then drove away. That's my theory.
Okay. Yeah.
He didn't like pick up each individual crab move it. But he had to know that that's where she would go. What was your thing about it?
My problem with this, and it's a problem I have in a lot of scary movies, is how does the killer know where all of these people are? How did he know that Barry was going to be at the gym? How does he know where to find all of these people?
Well, he had a year.
To do like extensive research on...
To do this, plot his revenge. So he probably knew that Barry goes to the gym every like Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or that's a bad gym program. Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Right.
And he probably knew like where everyone worked. You know, he knew that Helen was like obsessed with her hair because it's super pretty.
Yeah.
Like he had a lot of time to like find all this stuff out.
I guess
out.
So. I just.
Like he knew she was really vain.
Yeah.
So cutting her hair was like the way to go.
I suppose.
Yeah. He had a year. But like, I mean, I understand that. Hold on. Sorry. What?
That's okay. Carbonated drinks. It's fine.
It's probably some weird disease.
So they go and they find Ray and they stop at Ray's house and...
No, she takes him back to the car. The body's gone. And then that's when she has the, what are you waiting for? Screaming in the street. No, I didn't look that up.
Oh, my God. So this
it makes me laugh.
Was actually suggested by a young horror movie fan that was on set that day.
And that she should, like, scream and spin in a circle?
Yep. That was suggested. Jennifer Love Hewitt thought it was stupid at first that the director wanted her to do this, but then really liked the scene.
It's like one of the memorable scenes from it. Because I laugh when she does it. I don't know why. Even the first time I saw it and it was like scary. I'm like, you're not convincing to me.
But like, you're in a panic state. I don't know. You do some crazy shit.
That's true. They confront Ray then that all this is going on.
It's hilarious.
They kind of think it's Ray.
Because everybody is going through everything that has happened to them. And Ray's like, no, no, no. It's cool, guys. I'm like you. I got a letter.
Yeah. He gets a letter. Everyone else has these like traumatic things happen to them.
Yeah. Helen gets her hair chopped off. Yeah. Julie gets a body in a trunk and you get a letter. Yeah.
So at this point, they're on a quest now to find Billy Blue. To find out who that is.
And Ray's looking a little suspicious.
Ray is definitely looking suspicious. Helen is at the parade. Barry is kind of like a lookout
doing
for her.
Bodyguard stuff.
Yeah. Like she's like up sitting at the top of the float kind of thing. And he's sitting down below. So she's got a good eye on the whole crowd. And she finds someone and she thinks, oh, okay, it's him.
Yeah.
So then Barry takes off after that guy and it ends up just being a poor old man.
I know. I think he was there though. Like I think the killer was there.
Oh, you think so?
Maybe not in slicker.
Well, he was there because So Barry takes off and the parade continues, and then she sees someone up on like a balcony with a slicker, and he's got a hook.
Yes.
And that's like, okay.
That's you.
That's definitely.
Yeah.
Julie goes back to talk to Missy. Missy's like into taxidermy.
Yeah. She's into taxidermy. I mean, I don't know. What else has she got going on out there?
I mean, really, that would be a good source of income if it was just like...
For sure. If you were good at it.
Living out in the wilderness.
Yeah.
I just lost my train of thought. It's gone.
Julie went to see Missy. For the second time.
They kind of have an awkward conversation and they find out...
Missy gets like weirded out. Like, Missy is just like, girl, why are you coming around my house again? Like, what's going on?
Well, that's when, there's another, like, big twist that...
What a twist.
That he went out there to kill himself.
Yeah. Because the year before, David, Missy's brother, was with his fiance, Susie.
Yes.
And so they got into a car accident and everybody blamed David for what happened. And David apparently, according to everybody, wanted to kill himself.
Yes. Well, yeah, he was just overrun with guilt. And he, so they're having a talk and she's like, yeah, he went out there to kill himself and he wrote me a note. And I've just tucked it away. I didn't want the insurance company to see it.
Yeah, because she got the money from David, like, when he died. And if it was a suicide, like, you don't get insurance money. He wouldn't have gotten it,
yeah. Do you remember what the note said?
It said something like,
I'll never forget
last summer.
Yeah, I'll never forget last summer. Exclamation point. And that's when Julie realizes... that it wasn't him.
Yeah.
Because the note looks just like the note she got. Right. And it's meant to be a threat, not a suicide note.
And Julie noticed that on the person that they hit, the guy had a tattoo that said Susie.
Yes.
So she thought that it was David who had a tattoo. And so Julie is just like, but Missy, like, he had a tattoo. Like, we hit him. Like, I'm so sorry, whatever. And Missy's just like, no, he didn't have a tattoo. Like, what are you talking about? Like, he killed himself.
Yeah.
And that's when.
So.
What are you doing?
I was looking up Muse Watson.
Because he's been in a lot of stuff.
He looked so familiar to me.
NCIS.
NCIS, that's it. Yep. That's all I needed to know. That's him. that's so funny because that's exactly, I was like, oh, I know I've seen him in something. And so I was just letting you talk and trying to skim my phone quick to figure out who that was. So that's when it starts coming together that it was one of her family members.
Puzzle pieces.
Not David.
Not David.
And if you connect it, you would assume that it was like a dad or brother.
Uncle.
Somebody getting revenge.
Fatherly figure.
Yes. And so she gets it all like put together.
Yeah.
And so then that night, the note said, I'll never forget what happened last summer.
Yeah.
And then there's the pageant that night.
Yeah.
And what it is Helen has to ride in the parade as the... whatever.
The queen from last year. Yeah, I don't know. I know that there's like a designated.
Miss Croker. The Croker Queen. So she has to ride the parade and then she has to be at the competition to hand her crown to the next.
How depressing.
Yeah.
Like, wouldn't that suck?
You should be able to keep the crown.
You should be able to keep the crown and then compete in the next year. Cage match.
So whoever wins the next year, cage fight.
Yeah.
I mean, I would watch it.
I would totally watch it.
They would get a way bigger turnout. Would they have to fight in evening gowns?
Yes. Be like Hunger Games.
Well, they couldn't fight in swimsuits because that would just go south real fast.
Yeah.
No. Evening gowns? Or maybe their talent should be fighting.
Yeah. I always I always think it's really sad when like Miss USA or whoever has to like hand the crown over. Like, why don't you get to keep like a replica of it or something, or compete again to see if you could win again?
And you just keep competing?
Hell yeah.
So you could be like the
reigning champ 10 years in a row.
I think if you're going to say the champ, then they definitely have to fight.
They have like a wrestling belt with like seahorses and stuff on it. They have to,
like, like the big giant belt.
Yeah.
Has like mermaids on it. Anyway, yeah. we're
done. Yep.
We're doing great tonight. The pageant's going on. Somehow Helen's hair looks beautiful. That dress is gorgeous.
Yeah.
The dress reminds me of that gold dress that I wore at a Sub Deb or whatever.
It reminds me of the green rose dress that you wore your senior year.
It didn't have that. Oops. It didn't have that neckline, though.
No.
The gold dress had that. Yeah. Sort of like cowl neck.
I wore that green dress too my senior year.
Oh, whatever happened to that? Do you have it?
I think it's in a box in the basement. I have all of my prom dresses.
I have mine in my costume stuff because they still fit, but not well. Not appropriately. Hey,
that's all right.
Barry's watching from the balcony. Helen's sitting there watching or listening to this girl sing as her talent. She's kind of bored. She sees the killer in the balcony with Barry.
Yes.
Where Barry gets murdered.
Barry gets murdered.
What I want to know is she jumps up screaming, says there's someone in the balcony, like, I have to help them. And this whole crowd of people, it holds her back.
Yeah. No, no, Miss Croker, you need to stay on stage. Like, what are they trying to do?
I have no idea what they're trying to do. And it
that,
seems
and you
like
can't tell me that no one is up in the balcony. That place is packed.
He's the only one.
He's the only one up there. Get out of town.
And I feel like she would have been like, oh my God, and screamed. And then immediately booked it down the aisle before, like, before the killer could get away.
And there's no
before
blood.
Before people could jump up. Well, there was blood. But the policeman just went up there and he's like, there's no one here. And there's blood dripping off the railing. He didn't just take a flashlight and do like a once over to see what I'm assuming would be a crazy amount of blood. How big is the murderer where he can like carry him out of there with no one knowing?
And Barry is like 6 foot. Or something.
Actually, that was the thing. He wasn't supposed to get cast for the role because they wanted somebody like real tall, like well over 6 feet.
Oh.
And Ryan Phillippe's only like 5'10 or 5'11.
Okay.
Anyway.
Yeah. And he's just like carrying this huge guy. I mean, he has to weigh well over 200 pounds. Like, he's friggin' built.
Barry?
Barry.
No, he does not.
Well, like, okay. Like, like,
I'd say
200. I'd say 200.
I would say 170 to 180.
Really?
Because he's like, he's built, but he's not like the Hulk.
Yeah,
he's just like ripped. Like,
now I'm trying to think of all of the ripped people I know.
And how much they weigh. Well, okay, so Greg is 6 feet tall, and he probably weighs like 180.
Okay.
And like, Pat is, like, 6'2 or
6'3,
yeah, like, and he weighs 200 pounds.
Okay.
So, he's not, like,
I would think Barry would weigh, like, 200 pounds, though. 190.
Oh, I'll compromise with you, and I'll say 190.
Okay.
Okay. Even though I think you're wrong.
That's fine. I'm sure it's on Google. You can look up everything on Google.
How much does Ryan Phillippe weigh
in I Know What You Did Last Summer?
Yeah, they don't look for blood. They don't do anything.
They don't do anything.
It's just,
they think Helen is hysterical.
Yeah, they think she's like gone nutty. So the police, the policeman says he'll give her a ride home because she just hangs out in back. She's not part of the thing anymore. He gives her a ride home. He kind of thinks it's like a prank that, you
as
know.
As you do.
Mm-hmm. And that's when there's a guy and his car's broke down in the road, And the policeman gets out to help him. And she's screaming at the top of her lungs, like, it's him, it's him, it's him. And she's in the back of the cop car, which I think if he was just giving her a ride home, she would have rode in front.
Yeah, I don't think she would have ridden back. No.
But the policeman gets murdered by the guy. And she is frantically trying to get out. And she, like, kicks a window out. Which, this was, like, another weird thing. So she kicks the window out and then she climbs out the broken window.
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't you just open the door handle from the outside?
Yeah. I don't know.
And, like, what kind of shoes did she have where she could kick out a car window? I feel like that would be really hard to do.
That I think it would be really hard to do. I don't think it's as easy as they make it out to be in any...
So this chase... was really good.
It was really good. And it's one of, like, the most famously regarded chases in horror movies.
Yeah, it got, like, a lot of credit. And it is, I mean, it's worth it. I think it's good.
So good.
Because she's wearing this beautiful dress and she's hysterical and she's running. And first, they do the normal horror thing.
It really reminds me of the chase scene in Prom Night.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Which.
Same thing.
Yeah.
Beautiful girl in a beautiful dress running mm-hmm. for her life, and the killer is just kind of like quick walking behind her while she's sprinting. I think she did take her shoes off, so yes, good for her.
She did take her shoes off.
She can actually cruise a little bit. So she gets to her family store. Mm-hmm. Her sister's working
because it's inventory.
I think it's real dumb that the sister does not care that she is panicking.
Even when we hated each other, I still think...
If you came screaming up to whatever building I was in, let me in, oh my God, someone's attacked me, I would be like, oh, and let you in. Yeah. I wouldn't be like, ugh.
No shit. Like,
fine, I'll go get my keys. And I thought it was weird that the doors locked with keys from the inside, because most of the time there's just like a knob.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of like...
I feel like I need to clarify. Aaron and I only disliked each other when I was like in middle school. I mean, there might have been a couple years later on.
Yeah,
but
there was like when you were in middle school and I was in high school.
Yeah.
That was, like, the worst of it. But then once I moved out, when I would come home, I'm like, okay, you're
not
terrible.
Well, I wasn't
stealing
your clothes anymore.
That's true. That was probably 90% of our arguments.
But, yeah, like, no. I would absolutely let you in and, like,
so, yeah, she just, like, I don't know. She does not give a fuck what Helen does.
I think if Helen died... Elsa would just be like, well, like, that's what she gets for being
she's
youthful.
Such a,
like, I don't know.
She's such a bitch. But then Elsa, this whole chase, it's like through the department store. There's like, it's dark. There's plastic over all the mannequins to like make them even scarier. Mm-hmm. Elsa gets murdered by the killer. Killed by the murderer.
Yeah.
And I think it's that whole, like, she's still kind of like, what's wrong with you? Why are you panicking?
Yeah.
Not like, so Helen is calling the police when Elsa's, like, slowly locking up the back door and she gets killed.
Yeah. Again, I don't know why.
When she didn't have anything to do with it.
She didn't have anything to do
with it.
She
was just happened to be there.
Right.
And even in that case, like, I could almost see the policeman and Elsa being killed because they're kind of like in the way of what he's trying to get. But Max.
Not at all.
Not at all.
Yeah.
He had no reason to be.
Poor Max.
I know. Helen gets in the like dumbwaiter lift
this
elevator thing. And she's hand pulling the rope to lift herself up. And the killer has his hook and he's like swinging it. This is another thing. I would get between floors and then just sit there.
Yeah. But then wouldn't he be able to, like, pull up the dumbwaiter?
I don't know. Maybe.
I think so.
Oh,
maybe not.
Yeah. He could go up to the top and pull it up. I don't really know how.
Unless she, like, held on to the rope.
And then they would just, like, fight it out.
Yeah.
But so he takes the stairs. She wheels herself to the top.
Slowly.
He slowly takes the stairs.
Yeah.
She jumps out a window to get away, mm-hmm. which, okay. But then she falls into this, like, maze of junk cars and, like...
It's, like, junk cars. It's an alley and there are, like, tires all over the place and stuff.
Yeah.
This scene reminded me a lot of that scene in Trick or Treat.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I definitely agree. She gets almost there. Another thing that I kind of thought was a movie flaw. There was a parade at 10 a.m. and now there's another parade at night.
It's 4th of July.
There's not...
America.
Marquette is 10 times as big as that town.
Yeah.
And we have a parade.
Right.
I just thought...
Maybe they just really love America. And
they do. They're very patriotic.
Fireworks are going off.
They have multiple parades on the 4th mm-hmm. of July. Whatever. So she almost makes it. She sees... the parade marching by. She's all excited. She's like, okay, I'm going to make it. She doesn't.
She stops and she turns around. And then the killer is like right in front of her.
Yeah.
So if she just would have booked it and not stopped, she would have made it.
Yes.
And there's a lot of...
But she did just jump out a window and right. she was limping
she
a
was
little
limping.
Bit.
There are a lot of fan... hatred towards this movie because a lot of people wanted Helen to live and not Julie. Like I went down the Reddit rabbit hole.
That's a thing. You can definitely do that.
Yeah.
I've done that. I did that with As Above, So Below of those where I'm just like reading everyone's crazy fan theories and like.
Yeah. Julie was so annoying. Blah, 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 blah.
Like, she was, but she was the one that wanted.
Yeah.
That wanted to go to the police.
Yep.
And if they would have made Helen the one that wanted to go to the police, it would have been, like, too perfect.
Yeah.
Like, here's this beautiful Miss Whatever of this town.
Yeah.
Oh, we have to go to the police. She would have been, like, a Disney princess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would have been a Nancy Drew.
So it wouldn't have worked. I keep doing this. I keep like, well, like you're, I'm like stalling out.
That's okay. It's the weather. It's been like rainy.
It's been pouring rain for days.
Ugh.
Which we needed. We needed rain. Julie runs to Ray. Like she can't find. She goes to where the pageant was. She can't find anybody. She goes running to Ray and sees his boat. And his boat is named Billy Blue.
And it's such a perfect scene. Like, Ray's just like, come on board. Like, we'll talk about it, whatever. Which is still a little suspicious.
Yeah.
And then Julie, like, goes to grab his hand and she sees the boat name and it's Billy Blue.
I mean, he can't.
He's
probably working. Like, he can't just take days off of work.
Not like the rich kids in town.
No, not like those rich kids. So she sees the boat name and Julie takes off. And does the fisherman knock out Ray?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or he like clotheslines him or something.
And even then you see like Julie running and you think like here's this nice fisherman that stops Ray. Like she could be getting attacked. Oh no.
Oh,
no.
My God.
He says, get on my boat.
Why? Just go to the police.
Get on the boat and we'll call the police. So it's like, I'll keep you safe on my boat. We'll call the police. And she's like, thinks 100% it's Ray.
Absolutely.
She has no idea who this guy is. So she's like, okay, fine. Thank you for saving me kind of thing. So she goes below deck. And
she goes, in the cabin.
She goes in the cabin. You can tell this part because you look all excited about it.
She goes in the cabin and that's when all the puzzle pieces come together. She sees like newspaper clippings of like the gang, like the four of them, There's like a newspaper clipping all about Susie and like her death and everything like
that. And then there's pictures of her as like a little girl.
Yep.
He has this like shrine.
Yeah.
And I thought you were going to talk about what he says.
Ooh.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Because I didn't write it down.
So
and you probably know it better
like,
than I do.
He comes in the cabin and he's just like, well, like a young girl like you should be out drinking, partying, running people over. And Julie just like looks like frantic, like, oh, shit.
Yeah, he's like, young person like you just cracked me up, running people over.
Oh, my God. And then you realize that it's Susie's dad. Like, yeah. Susie's dad and Ben, who's her dad, killed David and made it look like...
Yes.
Like it was David or whatever.
Well, he blamed David for the car accident that killed his daughter.
Yeah.
So then Julie is, like, freaking the fuck out. She does a good job. I always think it's funny how she, like, how people know where to go. Like, have you been on this boat before?
No
shit.
Do you
know where to hide?
But she did grow up in a fishing town.
But
boat is going to be different. Yeah, I get that. But, like, Ray has fished his whole life. She probably dated Ray for a long time. She's familiar with boat things, but...
But just yeah. like, I'm going to climb in here and I'm going to shut the door and I know I'll be safe because I can like latch it from the inside
yeah.
or
yeah.
like, yeah. She climbs into this big thing of ice cubes and all the bodies are in there, which is pretty nasty.
The ice cubes are gelatin.
I know. I was going to say that.
I'm just going to let you do the research now.
You don't have to.
Because I feel bad because you have all of these good things and then I have all these good things.
And that some of them are the same. So
and I'm
like,
a big loudmouth. So I'm just like,
yeah. And then this happened. I think that was, they filmed it in 50 days. Did you know that?
No.
Did you know that Sarah Michelle Gellar actually auditioned for Julie?
No.
Oh, yeah, she did.
I didn't know that.
Oh, well, now you do.
Yes. Huh.
Look at that. Something that you didn't find. Yeah, so then Ray, what? Did you write it down?
No, but what? I just read something that Max said to Barry as he's walking out. And I should have said it. I'll call the cops on your college quarterback ass. That's what he says.
So maybe the writing isn't like...
I liked it.
Anyway. I liked it, but I, you know.
Right.
It's definitely like a teenage slasher. It's not like...
Yeah.
Well, Ray takes a little boat, goes chasing after that boat. He gets on board. I think he gets knocked off at one
scuffle.
Point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Then he grabs the nets, climbs back on. There's like a big to-do. A lot of fighting. He gets his hand... Not... Okay. The bodies are all on ice. So it's just like a lot of screaming, a lot of like chasing
yeah.
everybody around. Ray and Ben are fighting. Ben has a hook in his hand
mm-hmm.
and he gets it wrapped up in a piece of rope and then ends up getting his hand ripped off.
Yeah, it's gross.
Which is pretty gross.
It's gross.
He also says, if you're going to like murder someone, make sure they're dead.
Make sure they're really dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he gets knocked off the boat into the water.
That'll lead to a sequel.
You think? Because he says, like, make sure they're really dead, then gets his hand ripped off, thrown into the water, and then that's basically the end. That wraps
they
it up.
Call the cops, and Ray is able to, like, get the boat back to shore and stuff.
Yeah.
And the cops are like, oh, do you have any reason, like, why this man would want to kill you? And they both kind of look at each other and they're like no
idea. And they pull up the net too and there's the hand still holding the hook and the hook is in the net.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
that's an urban legend.
That's setting up an urban legend right there.
Around town for years.
The end scene is 1 year, one year later.
1 year later.
Julie looks perfectly fantastic. Oh my
God. She looks like she just got off the set of Party of Five.
Yeah, her makeup is beautiful. Her hair is beautiful. It looks like, and then she's getting in the shower. I'm like, you seriously look like you just did your hair and makeup and you're getting in the shower.
I know. I had a problem with that too. It would be different if she looked like she'd got done like working out or whatever. But
no, she's on the phone and she's like giggly.
She's talking to Ray.
And she's talking to Ray. I can't wait to come and visit you. Da da da. Like all excited about it. And then she gets a note. That is...
What does the note say?
It's an invitation to a party.
I know.
She sees the note and she gets all paranoid about it. Yeah. And when she opens it, it's...
like a frat party or something.
Yeah, it's a pool party. Then she sees in the steam and the shower door, I still know.
Yeah.
And then the end scene is the glass breaking.
Which...
I think it was just a dream or her imagination.
It wasn't a dream because in the sequel... she like wakes up or something. Like it's been a while since I've seen the sequel. I wasn't like super into the sequel.
Yeah. So. I never saw it.
Yeah.
Did you? Obviously you liked it.
Oh my God. It brought back a lot of memories.
Yeah. The clothes and like the hairstyles like cracked me up because I was like that age at that time.
My senior pictures. Yeah. Blue crocheted top. It was all about that. And I am not nearly as well endowed as Jennifer Love Hewitt. And I still love that top so much.
Do you still have it?
No.
I had a tan one like it, and I could never find something like to wear underneath it.
Why would you have to wear something underneath it? It had like padding where the boobs were.
I just would have worn something underneath it anyway.
No, I didn't for my senior pictures.
Well, I always had to wear... I was so flat-chested then. I always had to wear, like, push-up bras and stuff. So I wouldn't have worn that to make myself look even flatter. I think now you
wouldn't have cared.
No.
Not at all.
Now I wouldn't care one bit. I don't even remember the last time I, like, put on a regular bra.
Like a real bra.
Halloween.
Yeah.
Was probably the last time. But, yeah, because I don't care. I think it's stupid. And I wish I wouldn't have cared when I was young because it's stupid.
I know. We could talk a lot about this. That.
Yeah.
But this isn't a self-help podcast. So, yeah, I would absolutely recommend this. It's a great summer movie, just like Jaws and what?
Oh, I thought you were like waiting for me to say something. I was. The website.
Oh.
Which we did not mention last time.
So we do have a website. It's slashermoviereview.com now.
A little easier to find.
So just like our Instagram, if you're interested in what we're doing, we share a lot more like behind the scene pictures and stuff on our website.
Because us sitting here drinking LaCroix is like...
It's great. That's what people go to our website
this
for.
This is where the magic happens.
And cats. Lots of pictures of cats. But yeah, so we have that website. We have a Facebook page now too, /your movie review. So go ahead and like that, like Instagram and all that other stuff. We post what we're going to be doing, what we have done. I'm trying to organize the photo albums a little bit better, but.
Meh, whatever.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter. It's not like we're famous.
No. We just, I would say that we have a cult following.
We have a cult following of about 30 people that listen to us every week. So thank you guys.
Thank you so much for listening.
And yeah, our Instagram of the same name, /your movie review, all one word, all lowercase.
Damn it. You had to squeeze that in.
I had to.
I'm like sitting here trying to wrap it up and you're like,
Let's see how long we can make it. But yeah, I absolutely love this movie.
I definitely soundtrack, like it too. Yeah, the soundtrack's good. All right.
All right. Well, everybody have a great night. Stay cool out there, everyone. Well, it's been like super hot all over the country.
Oh, that's true.
And like
true.
All over the place. So
that's really depressing in a way.
Yeah, no
Global
kidding.
Global warming. Anyway, all right.
We're not an environmental podcast or self-help. All right. Have a great night, guys.
Bye.
Bye.